I'm just always so happy to share the word with you. And for those here that may be newer, my name's Eric. And we're excited about what God's calling us to here. And I want you to know that we're talking about this, and PJ and Mel are here, and Candace and I, and we have been talking, but in my heart, God began this conversation a year and a half ago, in our heart. And we were sitting right at the back there, right where Timmy is, and God just spoke. And so we're just walking out faithfully, one step at a time, going where God leads us. And, you know, Candy and I in particular, we're like Abraham, where we're going out not knowing where we're going. And there feels like there's immense risk in that. But just from my own experience, I can tell you that you can bank on your circumstances the way they are right now and the things that you think are dependable in your life and put your confidence in them, but I can tell you that they're gone in a second. They're gone in a second. And what do you have but God and His faithfulness and His Word? What do you have? Nothing. God will not fail. God is faithful and He is good. And so we're excited. We're excited to serve here. We're excited about this family. We're excited about what God's done here. We're excited about the work that He began for Enjoy Life Church 30-some years ago. And then 11 and a half years ago when it took an outfleshing, when it became a reality, what was in the heart of God so long ago became a reality, and we're walking in it today. We're living in it today. We're part of it today. And God's called you here. And God has called us here, and we're walking into the fullness of what God has for us. And I am really excited about that and thankful to God for His goodness. I want to share with you about Rahab. Rahab was a prostitute. And I marvel at this woman. I marvel at her because she turns out to be so faithful, so true to what God is speaking in her life, to what God has revealed in her life. And I just want to share the story of her life. I have five really amazing points, and we'll get to one of them probably this morning, but it is her story ought to inspire us. And Rahab speaks to us from 3,200 years ago about the cost of following. And that's what we want to look at this morning. We've been looking at Jesus' words, "Follow me," and what it means to follow Christ. And I want you to hold in your heart this morning that today you need to follow Him. And then tomorrow morning when you get up again, you need to follow Him. And Tuesday. And every day that we live and walk and we are just following Jesus. This might be a shock to you. Leonard's not really leading this church. He is, but as he follows. And it is our joy to experience in the lives of each other how Jesus is leading each one of us. And together he is building his church in this local church. He's building his church. And we find our part in it. We learned this from Rahab. We'll look at some of these things this morning. But I think what I should do is I should read the story. And so bear with me. We'll read the first 21 verses and then a little bit out of chapter 6 of the book of Joshua. So take your Bible and turn to the book of Joshua. And we'll begin in chapter 2. We'll read verse 1 to 21 and then a few verses out of chapter 6. Then Joshua the son of Nun sent two men as spies secretly from Shittim, saying, "Go view the land and especially Jericho." So they went and came into the house of a harlot. Now I'm just like, I don't know how they ended up there. It's very strange. But they end up at the house of a harlot whose name was Rahab, and they stayed there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, men from the sons of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land." And the king of Jericho sent word to Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to spy out the land." But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. And she said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from." And it came about when it was time to shut the gate, the city gate, at dark, men went out. "And I do not know where they went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them." But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them in stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. So the men of Jericho, pursued them on the road to the Jordan, to the fjords. And as soon as those who were pursuing them had gone out, they shut the gate. Now before they lay down, she, Rahab, came up to them on the roof and said to them, "I know that the Lord has given you the land and that the terror of you has fallen on us. And all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And when we heard it, our hearts melted, and no courage remained in any man of any longer because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath. Now therefore, please swear to me by the Lord, since I have dealt kindly with you, that you will also deal kindly with my father's household, and give me a pledge of truth, and spare my father and my mother and my brothers and my sisters and all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death." So they said to her, "Our life for yours, if you do not tell this business of ours, and it shall come about when the Lord gives us the land that we will deal kindly and faithfully with you." Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall, so that she was living on the wall. And she said to them, "Go to the hill country so that your pursuers will not happen upon you, and hide yourselves there for 3 days until the pursuers return. Then afterward you may go on your way." The men said to her, "We will be free of this oath to you, which you have made us swear, unless when we come into the land, you tie this cord of scarlet thread in the window, through which you let us down, and gather to yourself all the house, into the house, your father and your mother and your brothers and all your father's household. And it will come about that anyone who goes out of the doors of this house into the street, his blood will be on his own head, and we will be free. But anyone who is with you in the house, his blood will be on our head, if a hand is laid on him. But if you tell this business of ours, then you shall be free from the oath which you have made us swear." And she said, "According to your words, so be it." So she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in the window. And then turn to Joshua chapter 6. And we'll begin at verse 15. And so I'll tell a little bit of the story. This is the part where they march around Jericho for 7 days, and then God says, after the seventh time, "Blow the trumpet and shout." And then verse 17, "The city shall be under the ban, and all that is in it belongs to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot and all who are with her in the house shall live, because she hid messengers whom we sent." Verse 20, "So the people shouted, and the priest blew the trumpet. And when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went straight up ahead, right into the city, and they took everything. They utterly destroyed everything in the city, man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and donkey, with the edge of the sword." Now, if you're wondering about the justice of God in such a, what is apparent in today's language, genocide, you need to understand that God judged the nations because of their ungodliness and rebellion and the things that they were practicing against the living God. This was not an injustice. The earth belongs to the Lord and the world and all who dwell therein, and each one is accountable to God. So then in verse 22, Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the land, go into the harlot's house. Every time they talk about Rahab, that's what they call her. Go into the harlot's house and bring the woman and all she has out, as you have sworn to her. So the young men who were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and brothers and all she had. They brought out all her relatives and they placed them outside the camp of Israel. And they burned the city with fire and everything that was in it. Then verse 25, however, Rahab the harlot and her father's house and all she had, Joshua spared. And she has lived in the midst of Israel to this day, for she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Father, I pray we would see beyond the image of Rahab as a harlot and see an amazing woman who has been and was faithful to you. What you did through her, in Jesus' name. In the book of Numbers, there's a verse, and I'll paraphrase it, that says, now if any man sins, any of the sins of mankind, he's acting unfaithfully to the Lord. If you remember when we talked about marriage in August, we talked about marriage as fundamentally a picture of the relationship that God would have with us. That marriage was not really about, it was not fundamentally and primarily about the relationship with a man and woman on earth. It was a picture and an image of our relationship with God. And similarly, as you read throughout the Bible, it speaks a great deal of the idea of unfaithfulness and adultery and harlotry. And it is primarily speaking about the natural condition of the human heart against God. It is not fundamentally and essentially simply condemning the physical acts of adultery or harlotry or unfaithfulness. It is speaking to the heart of every one of us. And it would do us well to take into our heart that each one of us really has been and knows what it is to be unfaithful to God. Knows what it is to be adulterous against God, to have a heart that is divided and separated within us from God. Because when Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, he was talking about fidelity in our relationship to God. That absolutely everything within us, our minds, our thoughts, our heart, which means our motives and our desires, all the energy of our life was to be directed towards God, towards the pursuit of God, towards a loving and faithful relationship to Him. And anything less than that, having a mind that's divided, that is kind of God-word and kind of self-word, directed towards the world, that's unfaithfulness to God. And we ought to admit to God that by nature, we are not people of fidelity towards Him. And those that have been believers for a long time will even recognize today in their life those moments and times in a day when our thoughts and our motives and our heart and our desires are not directed towards God, but towards ourselves and our own agenda for our life and our own self-determined steps. And the message of the gospel is that Jesus loves and saves the unfaithful heart. And He picks them up And he moves them by the power of the Spirit of God towards a mind and a heart and desires and thoughts and energy that are entirely directed towards God and his kingdom and his righteousness. So we're on that journey from infidelity to pure-hearted devotion to God. We're not there. We are moving there. Rahab illustrates to us a woman who, long before the gospel, shows the signs of the work of God. It's interesting how these spies end up at the house of a prostitute. I'm thinking, you know, as I'm reading this passage and praying, I'm going like, God, what was going through their mind? How do these two, who are recipients of the law and the revelation of God at Mount Sinai and the journey through the wilderness and all the signs and wonders that God did and the articulated, revealed will of God in the law? This is Joshua. This is after Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. This is after. How do they end up at the house of a prostitute? And there's something remarkable that's gone on here, and I think I would, if I could, by the Spirit, burn this into your heart. That God is always working ahead of you and will lead you into what he's doing already. They didn't go and try and witness to the prostitute. They didn't say, oh, you know, we need to really tell her about the living God and all the things that he's revealed. And they that was never entered their mind. But long before they ever got to the house of a prostitute, God was working in her heart. And they were just led. There's no explanation for it other than God sovereignly led them to her house. There's no rational explanation for why they ought to be there. And as we follow Jesus, we ought to experience those things in our life. There's no rational explanation for why our path goes the way it does, where we end up living our life. But as we follow Jesus, we ought to experience what Jesus told Nicodemus he was supposed to experience. Because Nicodemus was wondering about Jesus and who he is and what he was teaching. And Jesus began to talk to him about the Spirit. And he said, listen, you know, Nicodemus, you're a pastor. You're not just a pastor, you are like a superintendent. You're like the big cheese here. And he started talking to him about the Holy Spirit, and he said, you know, you hear the wind, and you don't know where it comes from, and you don't know where it's going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. And our lives ought to follow this pattern. And where we are going, each one of us, and where we are going as a family is the great and awesome discovery that we will find ourselves going into places, meeting people, encountering people with no explanation of how it's happening, only that we are going to discover that long before we got there, God has begun to stir in the hearts and in the minds of people. Because you see, the mission and agenda of the gospel is God's prerogative. It's not our plan. It is not our plan. When Jesus called Peter and John, he said, leave your nets and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I will do it. I will lead you. I will show you. And so long before Jesus, long before the gospel, long before the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out on heaven, Rahab, this beautiful woman, was modeling and demonstrating for us a sensitivity to God. And that God began to stir in her heart and used her to accomplish something for his people. There are people in your tomorrow in whose heart and life God is working now. And it's not your job to be clever with the gospel, but to be obedient as you follow Jesus. But Rahab not only shows us that God revealed himself to her. Now, it's interesting. I don't know how many people were in Jericho. It's conceivable it was 70 to 100,000, perhaps more. Large city, a very walled city, very old city. Jericho is a very old city. And God saved a prostitute and her family out of that whole city and no one else. And I don't have an explanation for that. I can't understand it. I can't describe to you. But I can tell you something. That God spoke to Rahab. God revealed himself to Rahab. Nobody from Israel was near to her. Nobody was around. Nobody that had heard the law. Nobody that had experienced God. God revealed himself to her. And somehow God directed these spies to her house. But I want you to notice something about Rahab, that immediately she abandoned everything to which she was loyal before that. She walked away from her city. She walked away from her country. She committed, in both legal and civil terms, high treason against her country. You try and hide spies from Russia in your house today and see how that goes over with the government. That's exactly what she did. Why? Because it was revealed to her that this earth and the world belongs to the Lord, and at all costs she was going to be loyal to him no matter what she would suffer. And she turned her back on her past, and she turned her back on her city, and she turned her back on her obligations, and she was going ahead. God revealed himself to her, and she was going to follow him, and it doesn't matter where he was going to lead her or what was going to happen to her. She paid the price of following. She paid the price of hearing God speak to her. She paid the price, the cost of following. And she heard, and she listened, and God had begun to stir in her heart. God revealed a lot to her. God revealed to her that he was actually God of Jericho. He was the Lord. There was no other God. There was no other Lord. There was no other master. There was no such thing in her heart to loyalty, about loyalty to anyone except the living God of heaven. She never lived that way her whole life. And now all of a sudden, God showed himself to her. Revealed himself to her. And it is my deepest confidence that God is going to begin to do this profoundly with our neighbors and with our friends and people across whose path we are going to come and through whom we are going to meet in circumstances not of our own doing. And what we are going to do is we are going to discover God and his working in the world around us. And she was kind of a harvest for God out of Jericho. And so she turned her back on everything. She left everything. In fact, it was at the point where she looked at her mom and her dad, and her brothers, and her whole family. And she said, "This is coming. You can follow me, but I'm not coming back to you. You can come with me. I am not turning back to you." She's so committed to the revelation of God. She's so committed to God himself that at all costs, she would stand there no matter what. And lo and behold, out of her faithfulness to God and out of the revelation of God, this is not a woman who figured it out logically. This is not a woman who reasoned what was happening out there with the God, the kings of the Amorites, and the journey of Israel through the wilderness and said, you know, I better hedge my bets here and open the door to the possibility that they're going to take over. This is a woman who heard God and met God. But immediately upon meeting God and hearing His voice and understanding who He was, she began to be a refuge for people around her. By her simple confidence in the living God, her simple faith that said, I'm turning my back on everything that I was, everything that is behind me, she became a light in a very, very dark place. And Canaan and the Amorites, Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Jebusites were a thoroughly corrupt people, sacrificing children, immorality of an order that we can hardly describe today. And God spoke light to her. God spoke Himself to her heart. And she would pay whatever price it was to have that light and to hold that light. And as she did that, she became light to those around her. And there was destruction coming. She was convinced of this. And I think our lives would be different if we would become convinced of the destruction that is coming to this world when Jesus returns. I think if we knew what was coming and firmly believed it, we would wash our hands and want nothing to do with it. You see, over, really from the Reformation on, but mostly from the end of the Second World War on, as prosperity was built in this nation, the increase of wealth has paralleled the inverse decline of godliness in this nation. It has. And it has crept into the heart of Christians that God doesn't want me to suffer. God wants me to be wealthy. This is my right and this is my privilege. And I can have the best of the world and have the best of salvation. And that's a lie that has crept in from the enemy. It is. And Jesus says, unless you deny yourself and take up your cross daily and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. And he says, unless, you have to listen carefully because Rahab really illustrates this. Unless you hate your mother and father and sister and brother and the life that you have in this world, you cannot be my disciple. And Rahab illustrates this saying, you can join me, but I am not turning back to you. I'm following in this direction. Remember, we're talking about Rahab in these weeks that we're talking through these different lives in the Bible. The theme that ought to be impressed on your heart are the words of Jesus spoken to each one, you follow me. You follow me. And so Rahab, as the spies left, she tied the scarlet cord, not an ambiguous reference to the cross, to Christ. But immediately as they left, they tied the cord out the window. She had made her stand and was committed to the end, and she never told anyone, and she just secretly had conversations, and she began to gather into her house her mom and her dad and her brothers and sisters and their kids and all that belonged to her. As we talk about these people, what I would again, impress upon your heart is the call that Jesus gives to each one of us. Don't worry about anybody else. You follow me. You follow me. Why? Well, because he wants to, first of all, save you. He, first of all, wants to keep you safe from sin and temptation and the things that would destroy you. And he wants to use you. And you can't direct yourself. I get ashamed at how stupid I am and how brilliant God is. He is so far ahead of me. He is so far beyond me. He is doing things. He's working things. I can't see them. I get, honestly, me, not now, these days, in the season that we're in, I get very frustrated with God. And it borders on unbelief, and I confess that a lot to him. And mistrust of him. What a fool. Because God is so far beyond me and so far ahead of me. And I will never figure out everything that he's doing. I will not understand everything that's going on in my life or explain it. I just won't. God retains the right to be absolutely sovereign and exalted above us. He doesn't need to tell me everything. I ask him, tell me, what's going on? What are you doing? When are you going to move? What lies ahead for me? And he retains the right to be sovereign, and it is my obligation to simply trust him when I don't understand, when I don't see. But what he does give me to do is his word. And I understand him through his word. Because if I'm not walking with him in the spirit, and if I'm not walking with him in his word, I will not walk into those things that God has ordained from the beginning of time in my life. I don't just stumble into them. I may not understand what they are, and you may not understand what they are, but you walk into the future by your faithfulness today. You walk into your future by the word of God, and God reveals himself, and God begins to speak to you. And in so much of the church, the word of God has become a little more than just a manual to do your best to follow, but that's not what it is. It's a revelation of the living God. And I follow him by following his word, by diving into his word, by kneeling before him in his word, asking him to speak to me, asking him to show himself to me. And I walk in his word by committing to a life of holiness and repentance from sin and purity, my mind, my heart, my actions, and all that I am. You know, It's not that just one day God will show up and everything will fall into place and all of a sudden the lights will go on. No. The future that God has for his church is found by those who love him and follow him and who seek him and who believe. And as I close, I want to tell you a story. I shared a little bit. I think I shared with the elders, or did I share Life in the Word? I can't remember, but... But as we spent time in Ethiopia, and as we talked to some of the leaders who are witnessing God reach millions of people. Millions of people. And we heard the story not long after it happened about a man who was a leader in a village of about 45 huts. And not a follower of Jesus at all. And Jesus appears to him in a dream and says, you need to flee your village because it's going to be burned to the ground. And he specifically stayed because it was Jesus talking to him. He knew who it was. And because it was Jesus, he was not listening. And then it happened the next night. You need to leave because your village is going to be burned and destroyed and you need to get out. His village left. They left. He told them. They all left. He's alone. The third night, Jesus appears to him. You need to leave and your village is going to be burned. You need to get out. Because it was Jesus, he sat down and stayed where he was. And this retreating terrorist group came through. And in that village, they made their living and they ate honey. That's how they lived. Each home had a beehive. And two of the soldiers came into the village and got attacked and swarmed by bees. And so they said, "We're having none of this." And so what did they do? They lit every house on fire. And the village is hiding up in the mountains, watching, and every hut is up in flames, and their leader, they know, is in there. And it's totally destroyed by fire. And I think it was about 3 days later, in the hills, they find this 80-year-old man sitting on the side of a hill. And he said, "Jesus came into my hut that was burning. And he picked me up under my armpits. And he sent me outside the village and rescued me." You see, God loves people. God rescues people. And what he longs for is his church, people who are so devoted to him and committed to him. And it was very shortly after that that God brought people with the gospel and the word of God, and they met him. It was like days. And he became a follower of Christ, and his whole village became a follower of Christ. So I want you to be convinced that God is working ahead of you. And I want you to be committed to pay the price of what it is to follow Jesus into the future that he has for you. And to learn today to live by the voice of his word and by the voice of the Holy Spirit who makes Jesus real to you. And to begin to say and to commit yourself in your heart to abandon your own agenda for your life and to abandon everything else in your life and to follow wherever Jesus is going to lead you. It is the joy of your experience to walk with God. It's why Jesus says, "Follow me." It is the joy of human existence to know the presence of God and follow him. And experience his voice. And to take everything that we are, everything we're committed to, all the plans that we have, all the ideas that we have for life, all of the agenda that we have, and just set them aside and leave them and say, "God, I'm going to walk into the future that you have for me. And I'm going to follow you. I'm going to follow your spirit." So if the musicians would come, I'm just going to pray and allow God to speak to our heart. Time after time, the stories that we heard of all that God was doing, you realize that his church was walking into what God was doing. They were experiencing what God was doing. And I have to believe in my heart today, in Edmonton, in our neighborhoods, in this city, in this province, and in this nation, God is beginning to stir in the hearts and in the lives of people. And it is his desire to have a church who is ready, who is filled with the Spirit, committed to the Word of God, that he can lead to them to win them to Christ, and to show them Christ. This is what God is calling you to. This is what God is calling us to. This is what God wants to accomplish in us. But it means we have to pay the price. It means we have to lay down our lives and our agenda, and we have to give up everything that we're holding on to in this world. We have to let go of everything that our own minds and our own hearts have set themselves upon. This is my path. This is where I'm going. Just lay it all aside and surrender. Would you pray with me? Father, I'm just so thankful for Rahab. I'm amazed at this woman who followed you, who just, her heart and her eyes were opened. And she began to live a life of amazing partnership with the people of God. And Rahab's story doesn't end there. Because I read about her in Matthew chapter 1, verse 5, and it says she married an Israelite by the name of Salmon. And Rahab and Salmon had a son, and his son was Boaz, and Boaz married Ruth, and they had a son, Obed. And Obed had a son, and his name was Jesse, and Jesse had a son, and his name was David. And you knit into the beauty of your story a woman who was a prostitute, unfaithful, broken, no hope, no future, and you transformed her life, and you knit her into the story of David and ultimately into the story of the coming of Jesus into this world. So Lord, today where we need to repent and where we need to turn and where we need to just abandon ourselves to you, God, I pray that your Spirit would draw us. Give us a vision of a future, Lord, that's so amazing. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.